champ.
Good morning, Al.
Good morning, recovery people everywhere. Good morning, world. Good morning. Morning.
Morning, little Hamish.
Wee Hamish, aye, on the road to recovery.
Aye. Hope everyone's well. This is from Opening Doors Within. It's May the 13th. Cease modelling yourself on anyone else and take time to seek within to find how I have need of you and how you fit perfectly into the whole picture. Never be like a square peg in a round hole or out of tune and out of rhythm. When you can be yourself, all stress and strain disappear because you are no longer trying to be something you are not. In fact, you are no longer trying. You just are. Therefore, you are at perfect peace within, and it is reflected without. Peace, tranquility, and serenity emanate from you. You create the right atmosphere wherever you go. You are a blessing, a help, and an uplift to all those souls who cross your path. And you create peace and harmony in the world around you. Now let my peace and love infill and enfold you. Lift up your heart and give eternal thanks that I am revealing the way to you. It's funny, really. When was it? Saturday afternoon, Sunday morning. I wasn't feeling peaceful.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't harmonious. And I worked out why. I worked out that I hadn't done my nightly inventory, and the thought of staying out in town had crossed my mind for a reason. That I was in emotional overload. I hadn't processed what I'd found out that day. And I wanted to run. I wanted to escape my feelings. And I didn't have any peace and tranquility. And I said in a meeting yesterday, I don't do a written inventory. I usually just go through in my head. And if I had gone through in my head, I would have worked out. Yeah, I was in fear. I was in self. I was in resentments. And what I did do on Sunday, I shared it. And also, I've taken steps to address it, which I'm going to do tomorrow. So this works, doesn't it? We need to keep doing this stuff because, the whole thing about, we were talking about emotional stability.
Mm-hmm.
I was emotionally unstable on Saturday, and it's so unusual for me. I wondered why I was feeling so restless, irritable. It's all in the book. Feeling restless, irritable and discontent because I'd allowed the fear and resentment to block me off from the sunlight of the spirit, and I couldn't see the wood for the trees because I hadn't done the work to clear it, and I hadn't really understood why it had happened, and I had to unravel it. So we still need this program, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
We need to keep emotionally stable and call upon our power to bring back that equilibrium.
Mm.
And we need to find our rightful place, and we need to flow freely, not let things block us. And it definitely had blocked me.
Mm-hmm.
But it feels good to work through it and to talk about it and to understand it and do something about it.
Yeah.
Instead of, that fleeting moment of, isn't it powerful? Baffling, cunning and powerful. That the thought suddenly came into my head that it would be nice to stay out. And
what do you mean stay out?
I just be in town, be like normal people and go and have a few drinks. I didn't want to. but the thought was there, and I know why, and I was confused why it was there. I don't want to
just
go out.
Just leave the recovery world and come back to the.
No, but it's such
a party world.
It was such a fleeting thought that confused me because I never. I don't want to do that, and I was really restless by it because it confused me, and I. It was only the next day when I worked through why that I realised why.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a really good lesson for me to learn. Does it say in there about lessons?
No.
It was a really good
lesson.
It's
not really.
It's all about finding the peace and harmony.
Well, you're normally emanating peace, tranquility and serenity, to be fair, Sam.
Yeah.
You know, and you create the right atmosphere wherever you go. You're a blessing, a help and an uplift to all those souls cross your path. You know, and you create peace and harmony in the world around you. So
I do.
That's normal.
Yeah, it was my. It is
pretty
my
good, really, isn't it? You know,
it is lovely to be like that, and that's why it really, really bothered me.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, it hit me, and I wasn't much fun to be around.
Yeah.
But I worked through it, and that's really good.
Well, ongoing, isn't it?
Yeah.
But,
and also, I was a bit in fear of our little pup. You know, he's been distressed, hasn't he?
Mm.
He's not been happy, and that's put me in fear because I'm thinking,
guilt.
You know, is he not going to recover because he's, you know, a bit in pain with his little snip?
Mm-hmm.
And you start to realise, you know, sometimes we think these words, what we're saying every day, is just a theory. But then you have to put it into practice. And I put it into practice the other way. Mm-hmm. I realised what it would felt like to be blocked off.
Mm-hmm.
Not to be in peace, not to be in harmony. Because I was full of fear and resentment.
Mm.
And it's not nice.
Powerful.
It is. So, yeah, good painful lessons, but really good, you know, to realise how important the nightly inventory is.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know...
And you've taken some action around it.
I've taken action. And also, you know, my higher power's having a laugh when the reading yesterday was, when we retire at night, and it was almost like, oh my God, this is for me. So we do have a choice of how we feel, haven't we?
Yeah.
We can try and put... this work to the test. And you know, I've seen people that have gone through much worse than I went through at the weekend, you know, and when fear's on people it is, but thank goodness we don't have to turn to the drink, you know, we have to really sit with ourselves, don't we, and experience the fear and the pain. Don't push it away, but just experience it and understand where it's coming from. You know, doing your mini step four, you realise, okay.
Yeah.
And it's a relief when you realise that.
Mm-hmm.
What have you got in your book?
When we retire at night, we constructively review our day. You know, it's always interesting to me that step 11 starts with the nightly review.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's prayer and meditation, isn't it? But it starts with a review of your day. So it's kind of like, in order to wake up in the right frame of mind, the nightly review is what's recommended.
And
but I ain't doing that at the moment.
I really realise what's meant now by an emotional hangover. Because I had one, because I didn't clear my... I didn't clear it.
Mm.
You know, if I'd have set aside time, but I was looking after the dog.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to get him back in from the garden because he didn't want to come in. It's midnight. 11 till midnight, I was chasing him around the garden.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a set of circumstances, you know, to illustrate the point that I didn't do my inventory. And can understand why I had that emotional hangover when I woke up because I hadn't cleared the days before. It really works, this stuff, if we work it, doesn't
it? Yes. Yeah, if you want that...
The spiritual life is not a theory.
We have to live it. We have to stick at it.
Yeah. Thank you for being understanding.
Showing. I'm emanating peace and tranquility.
I think you just left me to it, didn't you? You just went to bed.
Oh, I was so tired.
You thought, oh, she's not emanating much here.
I've been doing so much service, you know. Powerful, that service. It's like, oof.
Yeah.
I think I was asleep at 9 o'clock Saturday.
And I was left to stew.
Well, I'm not saying it's...
No, but it's good. It's good to realise, to work it out. To work out that I didn't want to sit in a beer garden and get rat-assed. I just was in emotional overload. And I hadn't sat and processed. So that's good. I'm glad I didn't want to drink.
Aspel sees at page 291.
Sorry, can I just say, if you haven't done the work, you know, if you haven't been through the steps, where does that defence come from? If I couldn't have worked out what was my problem and done my prayers, where's that defence? Because I would have continued on that emotional overload and I probably would have picked up a drink if I didn't know how to work it out. So it's really important, isn't it, to do the steps and to work out your own way of doing your mini step fours.
Yeah, well, it's...
And when you can't, you phone your sponsor.
Well, I mean, it's really common sense, isn't it? You know, I mean, if you have the illness, then you need to...
find a solution.
Proceed with the treatment. You know, don't wait. Yeah, I'm really ill, but I'm not going to start dealing with my illness until, you know, a couple of months down the road because there's no hurry. Well, that why? Why not just get on with it? Because you're ill and very vulnerable.
Yeah. I'm glad that I got that yesterday.
You got no power, you got no defence. And
yeah, I can understand.
Something comes up, you know, that causes you fear and anger. Your solution to that is alcohol.
Yeah.
You know, or drugs. And
that's what my brain told me, fleetingly. So it's still lurking, isn't it?
The neural pathways will always be there.
Yeah, but I didn't fire it up. I just said, no, I can't do that. That's rubbish. But I was...
Oh, they're kind of tingling.
Yeah, but it was there. You know, it was... It was strong because I came back, didn't I? I said, oh, I feel really. It's. I had to say to you, didn't it? It really bothered me.
Sorry.
Just wanted to say that.
So, 291 letter from 1959 and the 12 and 12 painkiller or pain healer. I believe that when we were active alcoholics, we drank mostly to kill pain of one kind or another. Physical or emotional or psychic. Of course, everybody has a cracking point, and I suppose you reached yours, hence the resort once more to the bottle. If I were you, I wouldn't heap devastating blame on myself for this. On the other hand, the experience should redouble your conviction that alcohol has no permanent value as a painkiller. In every AA story, pain has been the price of admission into a new life. But this admission price purchased more than we expected. It led us to a measure of humility, which we soon discovered to be a healer of pain. We began to fear pain less and desire humility more than ever. Humility. It's interesting, isn't it? You know, the idea that humility is powerful. You know, that humility makes you stronger, you know, less vulnerable.
Well, if you're giving your will over to the care of God, you've got power. You know, if you've cleared your fears and your resentments, you've got, and let God in, you've got power. You need that sunlight of the Spirit. And so if we're self-reliant, if we're just relying on ourselves, we haven't got that strength, have we? Powerful, isn't it?
But the idea that, you know, we're drinking to kill pain, you know, drinking and resentment and anxiety,
Yeah.
You know, that's pretty common. You know, normal people drink because they're, you know, meeting friends, they're going for a night out, you know, they're...
Yeah.
It's a wee celebration, a wee, you know, leisure kind of experience. The alcoholic, daily drinker, you know, it's like, I need this in order to bury these feelings, to numb these feelings, to escape these feelings, you know, it is a...
Well, I wanted to kill my emotional pain.
Yeah, and... You know, if you can't do that, if you can't take the drink and you don't have the, you know, relationship with God, you know, then that is, yeah, you know, it's
hence,
hard, isn't
hence
it?
Hence the resort once more for the bottle. You know, it has redoubled your conviction that alcohol has no permanent value as a painkiller, because you don't get rid of the fear and resentment with it. All you're doing is escaping it. You're suppressing it, aren't you, with the alcohol? You're numbing it. So,
what's the relationship between humility and service?
Well, you're doing God's will.
So you do a service with humility?
With God.
Because
doing
you're doing
work.
God's work, so you're not doing service to get praise from other people. You're doing service because you've got to deal with God.
You do want the power.
God's going to take care of you.
Yeah.
If you're doing
care.
His work.
Yeah.
And therefore, you know, it's kind of like I'm lucky to have this opportunity to do service. Therefore I should be grateful and humble rather than expect or, you know,
want the validation.
Yeah.
Oh, he's so good, isn't he, because he's doing he's given up an hour on a Sunday to help, you know, PI. It's thank you for keeping, you know, this is keeping me sober, this is keeping me well, this is keeping me out of self.
This has given me a defence, power, and, you know, a sense of inner peace.
Yeah, because now I've got rid of my, well, I'll never get rid of it permanently, but now I've dealt with my resentment and my fear. I feel the power, even though I'm tired, I feel more powerful now and able to deal with what I'm dealing with on Tuesday. Because I've got the power back in. We're weak without it, aren't we? We're weakened. And I just went back to self-pity. All those things came flooding back. So we need the groups, we need the meetings, we need to clear our emotional baggage. We need to help others.
We do.
It's all there in that book, and I think that book was divinely guided. You know, it's like, you know, the Bhagavad Gita holds clues. That book holds all the clues that we need in order to stop drinking. It's all in there, isn't it?
I think that, you know, they took things, didn't they? I mean, they were quite open about that, you know, they took a bit from here and a bit from there, and, you know, it's like a, you know, spirituality's greatest hits, kind of compendium of spiritual tools. You know, this idea of surrender and, you know, inventory and confession and review and service and restitution, you know, prayer and meditation. They didn't invent any of that, you know.
He always said he gathered from all religions, didn't he? The best of
it. He got input from Carl Jung, you know, he got input from Silkworth and the medical fraternity, you know, input from the Oxford group, you know, and that kind of came out of, you know, millennia of spiritual thinking. And
but then the priceless thing for me is, you know, the first 100 helped him as well, that they knew that alcoholics couldn't take some of this language.
Mm.
They had to suggest, they couldn't be told. And the way it was worded was so much more palatable for us to digest.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've all got very similar traits, I believe. Don't you?
Mm.
We're a bit rebellious, aren't we? You know, we've got a bit of spirit in us and we don't like being told. But we like to understand and we like suggestions.
Mm.
And we like it when it works. And yeah. I think that's why it's such an amazing program. And I feel sorry. I really feel sorry for people that can't get over their prejudice, you know, and just try it. I just really want everyone. I suppose, you know, the judge in America that said do 1990 was trying to think, you know, please just get it. Please see there's another way, you know. But unfortunately, you know, some of the people that were going to the AA meetings had no intention of staying sober, and they were quite disruptive, and, you know, that's the problem. When it was ordered, it wasn't voluntary.
Personally, I think, you know, that the 1990 is kind of like a filtering mechanism, you know, used by a lot of potential sponsors. So it's like, well, you know, if you turn up to meetings every day for 3 months, then I'll take you on as a sponsee, because then I've got confidence that you're serious and you're going to do the work, and, you know, you won't waste my time. And I understand that makes, you know, it makes sense from the sponsor's point of view, but from the potential sponsee's point of view,
how?
It doesn't make sense, because it's like they've got 90 days of
untreated alcoholism.
You know, every day, vulnerable to, you know, that fear coming back, the resentment, or you get bored of the meetings. You know, somebody says something in a meeting, or, you know, it's a tightrope. And also, you know, the idea, you know, is the intensive work with other alcoholics provides immunity from drinking. You know, it's like Dr. Bob's four rules, you know, the you know, insurance against a slip, it's a duty, it's a pleasure, you know, it's like, you know, insurance against a slip, whatever. The,
you said, because your sponsor, it's the debt to,
yeah,
you.
Yeah, you.
It's really good to hear that yesterday.
Yeah, agreed to it. And, so if I, you know, if someone comes in, you know, I started the steps, you know, within 2 weeks, you know, it was 2 weeks and I was going, you know, and I'm through to step five in 4 weeks. You know, if I do that with somebody who's new and they drink, you know, I've had quite a few drink after step three. Why is that a waste of my time? It's not,
no. And also,
it's,
you know,
it's helping me, you know. I've gone through one, two and three again.
And also, you know, you're working with people that are still going through a lot of stuff.
Mm.
But because they've got the knowledge, it's ruined their... If they relapse, it's ruined it. And a lot of them come back to you.
Yeah.
And they get through it.
Uh-huh.
Because they know that's not the solution, because they've done some of the work.
I actually got a text, exchanged a few texts from an ex-sponsee who I haven't heard from him for 5 years.
Wow.
And then he texted me the other day, you know, it's like chatting to him.
We sow the seeds, don't we?
Everyone's on their own path, their own...
Yeah.
Our paths converge on this 12-step journey, and it's kind of like you've got your own timeline and your own kind of pattern, but you know, there is obviously, you know, we're supposed to be kind of adhering to the system of the 12 steps.
I feel really lucky, you know. I feel really lucky that, you know, we've got this solution, you know, and whatever happens in the future, you know, I know parents are getting really poorly, you know, illnesses come around, and, you know, I feel lucky that I've got this to work through anything without picking up a drink now.
Mm.
You know, and that I feel so lucky that we've got this.
Mm. Yeah. I think, you know, you know, being human, you know, we are spiritual, emotional, mental, you know, conscious, sentient beings, you know, so it's like all this stuff, this intangible thinking, feeling, if you just let that run riot, you know, and kind of manage it and contain it with chemicals, whether it's alcohol, drugs, prescription drugs or whatever, then I don't know, you know, I mean, that's seems to me to be you're living in this artificial kind of haze.
You're never getting to the root cause of what's causing you the pain.
Whereas if you're clean and sober and you're pursuing a spiritual path that involves, you know, step 11, reading and meditation and prayer and service to others, and you feel kind of that you're making progress, you know, that's good. I think that's what's necessary for people. You know, and a lot of people have hobbies, or they go to church, or, you know, they're into football, or, you know, there's a lot of ways people cope.
Mm-hmm.
But the 12-step program, you know, I think that this, the fact that it's a God of your own understanding is absolutely key.
Mm.
And, yeah, so far, so pretty amazing, really.
Yeah.
Don't want to drink or use.
No,
you know,
I don't.
I don't want to.
I really don't.
I don't want to waste all my money shopping. You know, my more stuff.
And I think, you know, everyone's born and they take on things that make them fearful and worried, and, you know, and, you know, when we went to India, you know, it's all about mastering our mind and instead of letting our mind master us. We've got to find the tools to master our own minds. And we've got the tools through the program, haven't we?
Mm. We've been to India twice.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wouldn't have done that.
No.
Pissing it all away.
No, that's good, isn't it? Well, what you said the other day when you worked out, it was about 30 grand a year, your habits.
I know, that's some serious holiday, isn't it? Yeah. Where are we going?
Yeah, exactly. Where does that money go? Imagine if you put it all in a jar.
Oh.
But we just seem to just spend
money. I don't
money.
Like to think about how much money I spent in my youth, you know?
No. Thanks, Al. Have a lovely day, everyone.
Yeah. Have a great week. Bloody hell. 28 minutes.
I'm sorry.
Fucking hell.
I think it's helped me anyway.
We should split it into two. Thanks, Sam.